You've said education reform is critically important, not just for the kids in school, but for the economic health of this whole region. So, but what did you mean by education reform? What are the keys, the key components of that to you?
Well, it's having, in terms of economic development, it's having a ready workforce. And that not only involves making K through 12 as the best it absolutely can be in Georgia, but it also means making sure that our technical colleges, for example, continue to do the good work that they do. I think sometimes we don't focus enough on the role that education plays in economic development. It's critical in terms of enticing employers to come to Georgia and bring jobs. They want to know that we have good schools. They also want to know that they're going to have employees with the skills necessary to start work on day one, and that's one of the things I think we've made great progress on in Georgia over the last few years.
There is the debate, though, about which kinds of schools are best suited to do that. Do we have enough evidence yet that charter schools are part of the answer in terms of their performance? And does that mean that we go more to that model in public education?
I think that charter schools have a prominent role in our future in education here in Georgia. These are public schools. These are schools that are simply freed up from a lot of the administrative requirements that we, I think, too often impose on schools.
But they are held to standards, and
they're
allowed to get there by whatever means.
Yes, exactly.
But obviously, there'd be differences school to school, but is there enough evidence to show that that's working, or is it too early?
I think it's probably too early. I think the indications are that they're doing good work, and the indications are that they are worth giving every opportunity to be successful moving forward.
One of the members of your caucus, State Representative Earl Earhart, has pre-filed a bill that would raise the limit on how much the state can put into tax credits for private school scholarships. Do you support that at a time when we're trying to make sure that public education gets every dollar it can?
Well, I have not had an opportunity yet to discuss that issue with Representative Earhart. I know he feels very passionate about that. He's done a lot of good work in this area. You know, the truth of the matter is that the credit that we currently have in Georgia was exhausted on New Year's Day this mm-hmm. year. I mean, it was all taken, and there is no remaining pool there for the remainder of the year. And so I am certainly open to looking at some modest and reasonable requests along those lines. And you know, I don't know what the magic number will be, but
I think his raise was to $250 million.
That's a fairly dramatic increase, I think, percentage-wise from where we are now, and we may have to go back and have some further discussion on that.
Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. The state has so far said we're not going to do that. Given that other states are putting together their own models in some cases, trying to find ways that they can do it their own way, should Georgia at least take a look at that rather than just saying, no, we won't do anything about Medicaid expansion?
Well, I haven't regretted the decision that Georgia made not to undertake Medicaid expansion, because I believe that once you create that spending program, it's hard to put that milk back in the bottle and end the entitlement. And I worry about the federal government's commitment to its portion of that. And I think the...
So you're saying you're worried that they might not continue beyond a certain point and then the state would be stuck
exactly.
for the whole bill?
Which would have a catastrophic effect on our budget here in Georgia.
But the need is still out there. Whether or not the state expands Medicaid, there are people who simply cannot afford health insurance coverage, or people who, for whom paying for it pretty much saps a good part of their income. Without Medicaid expansion, the need is still there. So what do we do? If not expanding Medicaid, then what?
The root solution, the fundamental solution here, is to continue what we're doing in terms of growing jobs here in Georgia so that people can go to work and then be able to have access to insurance that they own on their own. I think that would be a good focus as an alternative to that.
There's been a bill filed that talks about religious freedom. It basically says the government should not penalize someone for exercising his or her religious beliefs. There's been a lot of criticism of that from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, that it would open the way for discrimination in commerce or in just customer service by somebody who might say, oh, it's against my religion to in any way support homosexuality. Does it possibly open the state, if it were passed, to constitutional challenges that would be long and expensive?
What I would like to know, and I'm going to take an honest and open look at the bill. I haven't read it yet, but I want to know what this bill does, how it adds to the constitutional protection that we already have, to worship where we want to and to have the free exercise of that. So I want to know what it adds, and I want to see if I can understand the basis of the opposition. And I want to have just a very fair assessment of the bill, because it's obviously an important issue to many members of the House. And so I want to have that sort of kind of dig down into it a little bit and see what it does.
Could it open the door to somebody who might say, well, okay, I want to not serve, fill in the blank, African Americans, Latinos, whatever, because I belong to the church of, again, fill in the blanks, you know, Aryan supremacy or something like that. There are all kinds of religions out there. So does that open the door to the kinds of things that a lot of people would feel we've gotten past?
We can have these sort of examples and hypotheticals, and I'd rather not engage in them until we have a bill. Let's look and see what this bill says and what it does.
Georgia was the first state, really, to take a look at the question of executing the mentally disabled. And the standard that was set for proving that was beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, other states have less stringent standards, and Georgia has one of the toughest ones in the country. There have been a lot of questions raised about executing people who have mental disabilities. Is it time for Georgia now, years later, to revisit its standard?
Well, I haven't seen a bill brought forward.
Should there be one, do you think?
I don't know. Our death penalty laws, to my knowledge, have been upheld as constitutional to this point. I don't know that there needs to be a national sort of standard in these cases. As long as each state's death penalty statutes conform to constitutional requirements as the federal court set them out, then I think that's the goal that we ought to have.
At least some of the advocates are saying, okay, it may be constitutional, but is it just? You've had to look at that question, too.
Well, I think that we all have our conscientious views on what is just. But the Constitution is something that is subject to rulings and interpretations, and that's what we have to look at.
Georgia House Speaker David Ralston. Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for giving us this time. We really appreciate it. Good luck in the session.
Thank you, Dennis.